Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands on which we've recorded each episode, which is the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders, both past, present, and emerging.
Welcome back to Coffee with Fleur. We're back in the cafe, Fleur.
Yeah. Hi, David. Good to see you again.
It's been too long.
It has. I know. We need to meet more frequently, not allow so much time to lapse.
Yeah, drink more coffee. Yeah. Oh, no. So I have more chats.
Yeah. Or both, you know.
Both. Let's do both. Hey, it's great to be back and having chats about change and well-being.
Yes.
And we've done a lot since we last spoke. We have had a lot of conversations, and something that's come up a lot for me over the last few weeks and months has been people asking me about burnout.
Yeah.
Remember at the start of season one, we did a episode about busyness.
Yes. I think that's where we had me singing, wasn't it? Ta-da! About your ta-da list.
I remember that. I'm still doing
sorry.
List, by the way. It's an interesting question, isn't it? What happens when busyness turns to burnout?
Yes. I think that's why burnout is a little or so insidious, isn't it? Is because it starts with potentially what seems like just being busy and overwhelmed to that being like life, you know, constantly without that relief or that recovery. So tell me, what have people sort of been saying?
Two items, really, two areas. One in the workplace, where there's an overwhelming workload and that's affecting their personal life,
or just
in the personal life and work, having too much on and feeling that overwhelm as well. And I think it's really interesting to explore what is meant by burnout, because it's a huge subject.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can just have a chat about our experiences and
for sure.
Give people some tips.
Yes, and I know it's just unfortunate sometimes these words get sort of latched onto and we can sort of attribute lots of things to burnout, but I think it's important for us to identify what is burnout, because it's not just being tired or having sort of a temporary experience of that tiredness or that overwhelm. It goes beyond that, doesn't it? So I watched actually recently a webinar, and they talked about burnout having three sort of key components. So one was sort of exhaustion, so that feeling of being drained, sort of having no energy. The other was a cynicism or a detachment, so sort of feeling that distance or feeling very negative and that distance from other people. And the other one was sort of that lack of sense of achievement, so that you're not achieving anything, that nothing is good enough. And this is like, these things are enduring over a longer period of time. So have you ever had sort of that?
Yeah. I mean, experience? It's a great point you make, isn't it? That it's not just having a busy week.
It's or month even.
Yeah, it's sustained.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to acknowledge the deep pain people feel when they're unable to live the life that they would like to lead in that way.
Yes.
So we really must acknowledge that. I think when I think about burnout, primarily I think about workplace culture. And in fact, Susan David, who referenced a lot in Coffee with Fleur, from Harvard University, says that burnout is when there's a workplace culture settings that allow for it, overwhelming workload, a lack of individual control, and an absence of a common purpose or recognition.
Yes.
So taking that all into account, you can see where an overwhelmed sense in a workplace can really have an effect on people.
Yes, and I think, you know, as you're talking as we're talking about this, it brings up, you know, the PERMA framework, which I think we talked about last time, you know, some of those things around positive psychology that those are obviously absent from people's lives if they're experiencing burnout. And I think once you get to burnout, you know, we don't want people to get there in the first place because it's so hard. It's like a big hole that you can potentially fall into, and it's really hard to dig yourself out. You know, it's not impossible. Well, but
it sort of reminds me of an experience I had a few years ago now, maybe coming, showing my age, but 5-10 years ago, in a previous job where I was working in a corporate area, very, very full on work, lots of time zones involved, so extended days, a lot of pressure, and I was performing really well, but underneath I was suffering. And looking back on that now, I'm wondering if that was burnout, because I found myself hesitating or procrastinating in a cafe before going into the workplace.
Right.
I would have one coffee, which is normal.
Yes.
And then I'd have another one.
Yeah.
And then I'd think, how long can I get away with not going into the office and have another coffee? And at the other end of the day, I know I wasn't the best partner, father, friend I could have been. I mean, I remember distinctly even going to a having a haircut of all things in the evening and just falling asleep in the chair.
I
was so exhausted.
Yes.
And now I look back on it and think, oh, maybe that was burnout, but I just didn't know it at the time.
Yes. So, and that must be another feature of burnout is often people don't even, they're that far into it that they don't recognise that that's perhaps where they are.
Yeah.
So it's,
in fact, there was, Jen Fisher did an amazing TED talk.
Yes.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes, I think, so it's fantastic to hear what she said. She was making the point that you can be incredibly successful and high performing, but underneath have really poor well-being.
Yes.
And her thinking has now moved on. She's a leader in well-being to being, okay, it's all about human sustainability.
Yes.
So, yes, organisations look at profit and bottom line, but if the people aren't there, there is no bottom line.
That's right, yeah. And that's where, you know, I know we'll talk about it another time, but the work design principles and the conference I went to is very much about making sure that workplaces don't put people in a position where they're susceptible to burnout. So,
and it was really interesting to have a think about that, and then what can we do to prevent it or minimise the effects if you're going down that path?
Yeah, or even identify early on, you know, that potentially if you keep going down this path, you could be going into burnout.
Yeah, so I know some of the things that I do, I'm very, very strict on boundaries, setting boundaries.
Yep.
And actually, Jen Fisher talks about that as well.
Yes.
But it's something I was doing long before I saw the TED Talk. If it's 5 o'clock, I turn my computer off.
Yes.
I don't work evenings and I don't work weekends. I don't have email, work email or Microsoft Teams on my phone.
Yes.
So I have these very distinct times when I'm at work.
Yes.
And when I'm not.
Yeah.
And in doing that, it means I'm very productive during the day because there's a lot to do.
Yes.
But it means that I'm in control of that.
Yes.
And I'm working with purpose. And I'm working, fortunately, in the culture that accepts that. And there's no expectation of incredibly long hours and weekend work and so forth. But it does come down to an individual to set those boundaries.
Yes.
And I found that's really working well for me.
Great. Yeah, I think I'd encourage people to sort of look up Cal Newport. I often refer to him. But he talks about a shutdown, people having a shutdown routine.
Oh, yes.
And that's like a routine or a set of processes that people can follow to sort of close their day so they're not perhaps tempted to look at their emails or what have you after that time. So that can be as simple as you know, I'm going to turn off my emails or, you know, write a list of my to-do list for tomorrow or something like that. But it's just a routine and it's individual to each person of what they're doing to tell their brain essentially that work is done and now I'm shifting over into my personal life or whatever your next activity is. So
that's a really good point, actually. And I like the idea of the shutdown routine because we do that on our computers, right? You click the power button and you're off and it shuts down.
Yes, well, we should do that, right, David.
Good for the environment as well.
Yes.
We turn off.
Yes.
We should do that. We turn off and shut down. But then maybe there's one more step, which is what I do is I go and put the work computer in a cupboard.
Yeah, yes. Oh, my goodness. You're bringing up a lot of things about habits and stuff, but I think we can have to leave those for another episode. But
that's true.
Yeah. So, because you're making it hard, or you're making it, you're sort of making a more concrete action to say, this is it, I'm done for the day. And I think that's the challenge for many of us because of technology, is that we don't have those things that used to be naturally in place for us. Like, you know, we used to walk out of the office, didn't we? Because we, you know, we couldn't use our computers at home and all of those. I mean, yes, we are showing our age.
Yeah.
So now we have to create them for ourselves. So it's like what you said, it's that shutdown routine or put your laptop in a cupboard or whatever it is to really tell yourself, your body, your mind, your brain, your thinking that work's finished for the day and now I'm going to turn my attention to something else.
Yeah, all of which is not to say you're not high-performing during the work that you're doing. It just means, as Jim Fisher says, you're operating in a sustainable way with higher well-being, which means you can perform during the day to the best of your ability.
Yeah. Well, recovery is such an important part of well-being. So that is what you're doing. You're stepping into your recovery space. So you're giving your brain the rest it needs to be effective the next day.
That's an interesting point. My mind turns to athletes. And they talk about recovery all the time.
Yes.
And it's physical and mental for them that they do their training.
Yes.
But then you hear them say, don't you? Oh, it's a recovery day.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they know they can't perform at that level 100% of the time.
Yes.
Otherwise they get injured.
Yeah, their muscles need a rest. Our brain is a muscle. It needs a rest from working so hard.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a lot there in that topic, isn't there? And maybe we'll put some links in the show notes so people can explore a bit further.
And I think, you know, everyone, we've tried to unpack a lot, you know, in a small space of time, but I think you'll find if you listen to some of the other episodes we've got planned, that we'll talk about some of these things in more detail. So, but I guess, you know, the big takeaway is that those boundaries, I think, and setting up something to sort of support yourself to recover. Outside of that experience.
And we should just mention at this point that, you know, we aren't medical practitioners.
We're not, no.
And we are giving advice that's general in nature.
We're talking from our own experience, aren't we? So, yeah, for sure. If people feel, who are listening, if they feel like, you know, potentially burnout is something you're experiencing or could experience, we'd absolutely encourage you to go and seek professional guidance on that. Yep. Not Fleur and David. Only listen to Fleur and David's encouragement to get that professional help.
Definitely keep listening because we have got a lot more episodes coming up. That would be the shortest season ever. But we look forward to exploring more of these topics in the future. But thank you so much for the coffee today, Fleur. It's really interesting.
Yeah, thanks, David. I'm looking forward to the rest of our catch-ups.
Fantastic. See you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.